This week on the Silver and Black Show, the Raiders look to stay in the hunt as they host the New York Football Giants. In our Hawaiian Airlines overview, I sit down with the man in the middle, Navarro Bowman. And head coach Jack Del Rio joins Chris Townsend to talk about the Raiders' mindset heading into the home stretch of the season. All that and more on the Silver and Black Show, starting right now.
The Silver and Black Show.
Excited to head out to the West Coast to play Oakland. They're right in the thick of the AFC West. Have talented players and playmakers in all three phases. And excited for the ball game.
Big offensive line, big strong defensive line, playing hard, playing tough. They're 2-1 in our division.
And these guys definitely have talent. They got a lot of juice. Nothing but respect for those guys. I think they're fantastic players. And so when you see that, you know, there's a lot of things that go into winning, you know, and so you can't just put it on, you know, they have this group of guys, why aren't they winning, or these things, you know, you never know. I just know that when I turn the film on, I know what I see, and I know that they're really good.
You know, so we don't get into the media reports, we get into the tape, and we're gearing up for a tough battle that we've got to have. We, you know, our margin for error has been already in our rearview mirror. We've got to play really good football and find a way to get a win this week.
The Raiders fighting to get back to 500. Welcome to the Week 13 edition of the Silver and Black Show. As always, I'm your host, Nicole Zaloumis, alongside our two-time Super Bowl champion, Jim Plunkett. And Jim, the Raiders are looking for back-to-back wins for the first time since Weeks 1 and 2. In their way, the New York Football Giants. A few weeks ago, this matchup wasn't that intimidating, but things have changed. So has this Giants team from the start of the season.
Yeah, it certainly is. Obviously, they're not playing as well. They've had some injuries, as the Raiders have had, especially to their offensive receiving core. Not only are they struggling, but they're coming in with a different quarterback in Geno Smith, benching Eli Manning for the first time in 210 straight games. So that obviously they're looking for a little jump start for that offense that's been struggling all season long.
And that's what leads us to our headlines. Our first one focuses on the change at signal caller. Bye-bye, Eli. On Tuesday, head coach Ben McAdoo announced that he'd be sitting the two-time Super Bowl champion for Geno Smith. The Giants' offense has no doubt been struggling, ranking bottom five in both yardage and scoring. A much different team than the Raiders anticipated facing from the beginning of the year. No Eli, Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall, or Janoris Jenkins. Jim, as you prepare for a move like this midweek, how does it affect your game planning?
Well, a couple of things. You know, they're going to go all out. They're only got two victories, so you don't know what to expect. They might try some things that are just off the wall that the Raiders haven't seen all year long, no matter how many films they've studied, because they have nothing to lose. And they want to take a look at Geno Smith and see how he performs. And it's going to be a little bit different because don't have that much tape on him as a Giant. And so he probably runs around a little bit more. He's going to come up probably with some big plays, maybe getting outside of the pocket. He does run well. So that's going to be a concern for the Raiders as they approach this game.
Our second headline focuses on the Raiders' offense, next man up. The Raiders will likely be without their top two targets on the outside, with Cooper and Crabtree combining for 62% of the receiver production on offense this year. Derek Carr and company will look for the remaining pass catchers to step up in a big way. Jim, with what you've seen this season from the Raiders, do they have the depth at the position to fill that void?
Oh, I believe they do. Cordell Patterson has stepped in, Johnny Holton. Jared Cook is still a factor in the offensive receiving corps. So I believe they do have the weapons to continue to pass the ball effectively down the field. And I don't think that's going to be, you know, obviously it's going to be a drop-off of some sort, but I think these people are very capable of coming up with big plays during the course of a ball game.
Our third headline, a date with destiny. With all that's happened this year and the disappointing start to the season, one simple fact remains. The Raiders are in complete control of their playoff fate. If the Silver and Black win out, they'll finish the year at 10-6 and be AFC West champions. Slip up and lose, there are a lot of factors that come into play if the Raiders want to keep their postseason dreams alive. Jim, you can't ask for it any other way. How can this team, or what have you seen from this team that tells you they can win out?
Well, as the old cliche goes, you know, you take one game at a time, and that what starts with the Giants this weekend. And, you know, I believe they have the capability. They've just been so inconsistent during the course of the season. They explode offensively. They play defense very, very well at times. But they've got to find and focus on, you know, each game as it comes up. And right now it's the Giants. So execute, play the game that you're coached to play, and go out there and put, you know, helmets on helmets and get the job done. I don't think there's any other way to look at it. And despite all the trouble the Raiders have had all year long, they're still in a position to even win the Western Division on the AFC.
All right. Well, we are just getting started. A lot more to come on the Silver and Black Show.
Lynch going to play action, going to roll to his left. He's going to run. Now he throws. It is broken out, but almost intercepted. The ball ricocheted. It's intercepted by Navarro Bowman in the end zone. The ball got deflected around. Reggie Nelson hit it. And Navarro Bowman, it was flat on his back, intercepts the ball in the end zone. Incredible.
Welcome back to the Silver and Black Show. I'm alongside one of the newest Raiders, Navarro Bowman. Navarro, let's go back to last week, because that was not only one of the best plays of the game, but one of the best plays we've seen all season, the interception. Were you prepared for that moment? I mean, did it just fall in your lap, literally?
Literally, it actually did. I bit up on the run, just to go back to the play. I bit up on the run and realized it wasn't a run, so I used the lineman to push off him, and I looked to my right and realized there was someone open, so I just sprinted as fast as I could to break it up and landed on my back and looked up. The ball was there. So it was just a great play for us. We needed it. You know, we've been over in that category for a while, and it definitely helped us out in the game and brought the morale up for the team.
It must be nice being here for about 5 weeks now to finally pick off an opposing quarterback.
Yeah, it felt great. I mean, guys have been wanting to get an interception for the 5 weeks that I've been here, and for me to get the first one, some of the guys, you know, was kind of salty about it because I just got here, but, you know, I'm on their team, so it was for us.
What has that transition been like for you? Obviously, as a seasoned vet, stepping into a leadership role, but you are still the new guy.
Yeah, it's been, you know, good in a way. You know, just, you know, coming to a new team, being a new guy, you don't really know how all the guys are, you know, going to accept you and things like that. And, you know, being who I am, I just want to go out there and play my game and be the leader that I am. And hopefully I could bring a few guys along. But it's been great, man. Guys have been really warming, just taking me in and understanding and letting me know that, you know, they're excited about me being here.
Well, the silver and black looks good on you. What was it like putting on a Raider jersey for the first time?
Well, black's been my favorite color, you know, since I've been a child. And, you know, just to come in, you know, other side of the bay, knowing there's been a lot of fans, you know, through the years been saying, man, you need to come to the dark side. So for it to happen, man, it was nothing but good. And, you know, me being in my situation, I was, you know, happy to be wanted.
Anytime you start a new job, there's a learning curve. For you, getting the playbook, getting up to speed with what the Raiders are implementing, how challenging was that for you?
It was pretty challenging, but I like challenges. I definitely, you know, just attack them with everything that I have. And when it comes to this game, I've studied so much football the past 8 years that I've been in the NFL and pretty much understand every system, you know, so that kind of benefited me coming over here and just getting the gist of it, you know, not really having to go into it and understand the language to the fullest, but understanding the coverages. And, you know, me having that experience, I think, helped me, you know, be able to play as well as I did on that Thursday night.
All right, it's time now for our five questions. We get to know Navarro a little bit. I know you're a big family man, so choose one player in this Raiders roster that you feel comfortable babysitting your kids.
I think I'll let Derek Carr babysit my kids. He has kids himself, and my kids are pretty much a handful, but he's a fun guy, so I think it'll work.
Yeah, he seems like the kind of guy that the kids would just jump all over, and he'd be totally fine with it. Besides family and pets, what at your house is like your prized possession, something you can't live without?
Something I can't live without. I have to say my mattress.
Ah, really?
Yeah. My mattress. I mean,
how long have you had it?
I've had it for about 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So
big investment.
Big investment. Worth the investment and puts me to sleep.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Monday morning when you wake up after Sunday, you need a good mattress after a game.
Make sure you make a good investment in a bed.
Biggest pet peeve? Any annoyances?
Well, there's one thing my kids do, I'm sure all parents could attest to this, is they attack every single room in the house. And every room is messed up.
Yes.
You know, so.
I can attest to that.
Yeah.
Do you clean it up?
I don't.
Favorite non-sport activity? Is there something you like to do in your downtime?
I like to watch movies. You know, I'm a movie guy. I like just, you know, sitting in the house and just killing time and relaxing and watching a really good movie.
Classics, new releases, all of them. What's your favorite?
I'm a Denzel Washington fan, so, you know, pretty much any movie that he's in, if he's not in it, it's got to be a good drama or action type.
He Got Game is definitely in my top five.
He Got Game is.
That was a really good Denzel movie.
I like Man on Fire. Mm-hmm. That was a good
That Denzel was a movie. Really good one, too. Yeah. All right, final question here. Something you're not good at that you wish you were?
I wish I was good at golf. You know, it's become a sport where, you know, as you get older, you meet a lot of people that's really good at it and spend a lot of time on the golf course. So that's one sport that I plan on really, not perfecting, but getting pretty good at.
You know, you can ask Jim Plunkett for some tips. I think he's still wishing he was good at golf as well, even though he's logging the time right now. Navarro, thank you so much for taking the time
thank here
you. On the Silver and Black Show. Best of luck this weekend and the rest of the season.
I appreciate it.
Keep it here. A lot more to come on the Silver and Black Show.
For now, it's just about doing all we can and preparing each week. You know, it's really about the process of preparing. That's what we, you know, all of our energy has to go there. So, you can't win two in a row if you don't win one. And, you know, so for us, rather than thinking about the whole of it, you know, all that needs to happen on a season or last month, what we want to think about is just preparing the best we can and going out and be ready to compete this week against the Giants.
It's week 13 of the NFL season, and most teams' identities have been established. While major changes can be made, take, for instance, defensive coordinator, the philosophies that were set in place at the beginning of the season remain the same. For Jack Del Rio and company, it's preparing yourself each and every day, week after week, so that you can change your fortune from a high draft pick into a playoff berth.
What a huge win last Sunday against the Denver Broncos. It kind of feels like we're already in playoff football, Coach.
Well, basically we are. I mean, it's a, you know, win and stay in. Win and stay in this race. So, it was a great win. You know, good to be home, man. Five weeks away, good to be home and to get a divisional win like that against the Broncos. Yeah, big time for us.
Yeah, you're right. It seemed like we hadn't been to the Coliseum in a long time. And your defense looked good, especially the first three quarters, the way they were flying around.
Yeah, the first 10 drives, you know, 60 yards. So, really, really dominant. Really happy that we came out, put our stamp on the game. I thought all three phases contributed, offense, defense, special teams. Everybody, complimentary football, something I talk about a lot. And I thought we got a nice shot of that last Sunday.
And you look at it, holding the team to under 300 yards in consecutive weeks for the first time since last year, week 8 and 9. That's something you have to really hang your hat on right there, is that you can see this defense can get better.
Well, it's going to get better. We're going to play well down the stretch here. We need to. It's part of winning football, and you know, that's what we're looking to see.
And we don't have to talk about interceptions anymore, not having an interception, which was good for your team to get.
We can talk about those balls that go through hands and end up in the receiver. You know, yeah, we're working on it. But we got Bo. Bo broke the ice. Nice to see, and a heck of a play down there in the end zone.
Yeah, it was just fitting that he did it. Plus, you had five sacks. That was big.
Yeah, no, it was. I thought our rush was outstanding. I thought, you know, Khalil always brings it. We had Bruce and Danico join the party and get a couple sacks each, and that was great for us.
And unfortunately, had the fight during the game, and Crabtree was going to be suspended for two games, knocked down to one. I mean, that's better, but I know you're not happy about that.
I'm not happy with how it was handled. I think for me, I always look to, like, what can we do better, you know? And obviously, we need our guys to stay within the rules, okay, not get kicked out, not get suspended. But I felt like if you go back and you look at the precedent, I thought that the way the Jacksonville DB and the Cincinnati receiver went at it, they weren't suspended, and that was as much of a flagrant fight as what we just saw. So anyway, disappointed, but hey, moving on. You know, you don't always get what you want, but we've got this, you know, we've got to deal with, and we will.
And it's always, as you say, next man up. And I'm thinking about Holton with another big catch. Yeah. And what a way to end the game with Patterson, another great catch. I mean, these are two guys that can step up for you.
Yeah, and they did, you know, in a big win. So, you know, Johnny Holton has gotten deep for us several times this year. Got deep in the game there and set up a nice score. And then, obviously, CP at the end, got to have it, play to win. You know, we're not going to just punt it without taking a shot at a conversion there. And CP Derek made a nice play there and sealed the win.
And what's the difference between going up against Eli Manning and Geno Smith?
Well, I mean, Eli's a much more accomplished quarterback. I mean, Geno's got ability, all right? There aren't any players that we see in this league that don't have ability. But, you know, Eli is, is a better quarterback. So it's I'm glad that they're choosing to do it, but now we've got to go out and play. Geno is capable. He threw for a lot of yards when they came in 15, and he was with the Jets. So we need to make sure that we take care of business, get after him, make him uncomfortable, and always know that they could slip Eli in at any minute.
Is it one of those situations that when you're playing basically playoff football now in November leading into December, that this really helps in the long run because you're just so sharp heading to the end of the season?
Yeah, I don't know about all that. What I know is we need to beat the Giants. That's, you know, you talk about all that stuff, but for me, Chris, it's about let's win this game. Let's focus our energy and our effort on preparation, and then when we get in there Sunday, let's just compete with our hair on fire.
Well, win this game, and you're back to 500. Good luck on Sunday, Coach.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Chris.
Coming up next, we got a little Chalk Talk with Lincoln Kennedy. He's going to break down the Giants' defensive line right here on the Silver and Black Show.
Hey, class. Welcome back. Professor Kennedy here with this week's edition of Chalk Talk, brought to you by the Ray Morgan Company. Let's talk about the Giants. It was a few weeks ago, I remember sitting at home and watching the Giants-Rams play. And I was thinking to myself, third down and 32, what can you possibly call that's going to get you any yards or get you at least in field goal position? You see, the Giants here are going to be playing a prevent defense. This guy's going to come back here. He's going to slide over. And you're supposed to have a shield, a barrier to prevent you to get into the sticks in the first down. But what really disturbed me is that not only did the Rams convert to a first down, but Robert Woods scored a touchdown on a bubble screen of all things. And I said to myself at that very moment, I think the Giants have given up on the season. They have not been inspired to play, and they're playing like this at home to the Rams. Let's take a look at this play. Nothing fancy about it. You see, you have the tunnel screen, a couple good blocks by big guys up front, horrible angles. And what was number 24 thinking? Not even trying. I said at that particular point, I'm worried about this team. I don't know what the Raiders are going to see when they play them, but you know what? They still have some playmakers. They still have some guys that can make it happen on defense. So I said, let me give them another shot. Fast forward to the Kansas City game. And this one play that we're going to look at right here, to me, I think gave them inspiration not only to beat the Chiefs, but play a much better defense since that fateful day against the Rams. This is one of the plays that Chiefs been running against a number of people, and I think it finally caught up with them against the Giants. What's going to happen is you're going to have a down block, guard's going to pull and seal, fullback has got lead, and Alex Smith has an option. He can either hand it for the fly sweep, or in this case, he can also hand it to Travis Kelce on a shovel pass. We've seen it work for him a couple of times, but this time, because this man right here, number 98, Damian Harrison, not only does he disrupt the play, but it ends up being a turnover that helps the Giants beat the Chiefs. Let's take a look. See the down block by the guard? Watch Harrison just throw him on the side. Jason Pierre-Paul knocks the ball up right in Harrison's hands. Turnover. So that play helped the Giants beat the Chiefs. There's been so much attention by Jason Pierre-Paul and Vernon, the outside guys, I decided to take a closer look at this guy. I mean, he is a beast in the middle. Not only that play he made against the Giants, he's been making plays all year. And I know this, in order for you to keep a comfortable pocket, you got to keep the defensive tackles at bay. And he's getting a tremendous amount of push. Just watch him manhandle the guard in this play. Should be a simple down block. He takes on two, throws the guard aside, makes the tackle on the interior. The Raiders run a lot of interior runs with Marshawn Lynch, so it's absolutely imperative you block the box and, most importantly, control the line of scrimmage. Can't allow penetration. So in closing, not only Raiders have to worry about the exterior, but they also have to worry about the interior part. Harrison is a beast at nose guard. Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, Kelechi Osemele are going to have their hands full. But if they take care of business and protect the pocket, you'll give a nice lane for Derek to be able to step up and throw downfield. Well, that does it for this week's edition of Chalk Talk, class. I'll see you next week.
The Raiders look to keep that defensive line contained. Welcome back to the Silver and Black Show. Jim, you look at Damon Snacks Harrison, and he is a force to be reckoned with. He loves to eat up double teams. So what plays or schemes can you employ to minimize his effectiveness?
Well, you mentioned double teams, and also I like traps against a guy who comes up the field as hard as he does. Because one of the hardest things for a quarterback to deal with is pass rush up the middle because he has nowhere to step up. So they've got to find a way to either double team him, help with the back, do something to slow him down. But I still like that trap play against a defensive tackle that goes up the field as much as he does.
All right, Jim, as we wrap up our discussion, is there one player that you're focusing on to really step up and make an impact against the Giants?
Well, it's really a group of players, and that's the receiving core with Crabtree out, Cooper probably out, Patterson, Holton, and Cook have to step up and play big for Derek Carr down the field, come up with some big plays, key third down receptions, and find a way to get open and attack this Giants defense.
All right, it's time now for Plunkett's pick, my favorite part of the show. What is the key to victory for the Raiders?
Well, I think it's still a running game. I think they have to run the ball consistently, gain some yardage, help Derek Carr out with the play-action pass. Marshawn Lynch rushed 26 times, only 67 yards, but one of the key factors is being able to rush the ball that many times and keep it out of the hands of the offense of the New York Giants. So I think running the ball effectively will be a big step in helping the Raiders win this week.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Silver and Black Show. Make sure you tune in next week as the Raiders hit the road for an important Week 14 matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. For Jack Del Rio, Navarro Bowman, and all of us here at Silver and Black Productions, thanks for watching, and go Raiders!